Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we need your Spirit's help to understand what we're going to learn tonight. Help us to be clear about the gospel and help us to believe it. Encourage us, we pray, through your word, and give us insight into how we need to repent in our thinking. Show us the truth, for your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Our text tonight is found in Galatians chapter 2, 15 and 16. Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Yes, just two verses. Galatians 2, beginning at verse 15, Paul is writing to the Galatians. He's concerned about the Judaizers who are teaching that you need to keep the law along with trusting in Christ in order to be saved. And Paul is now beginning a section where he's responding to Peter, who made a mistake, a serious mistake, in Antioch. In verses 15 and 16, Paul writes, "We are Jews by nature and not sinners from among the Gentiles. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we may be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." The Word of God. In our study in chapter 2, we've seen the rebuke of Peter for his hypocrisy in Antioch, how he left fellowship with Gentile believers in favor of Jewish believers who came because he feared those who taught you must be circumcised. We believe this was the Judaizers. In doing that, he gave the impression that salvation is by works of law. He didn't say it, but he behaved like it. And so in verses 15 through 21, Paul boldly corrects Peter by teaching the truth. And as we read these words of correction, we are taught a very important truth. So let's make this very simple. It's justification by faith alone and not by works of law. Let me give you a technical definition for justification. Justification is a forensic or legal declaration of not guilty of sin because of perfect obedience. But whose obedience is in question here? The Judaizers said, it is your obedience to the law. That was their false gospel. But the true gospel of Jesus Christ teaches that justification is by faith in Christ and his obedience alone that will justify you. Now, the rest of this chapter is a very dense passage. So what I want to do for a couple of weeks is to walk us through verses 15 through 21, starting this week with verses 15 and 16, which I just read to you. You see, it's all about the difference between Jews by nature and Gentile sinners. Paul writes in verse 15, therefore, we are Jews by nature and not sinners from among the Gentiles. Now, Paul was in some sense being sarcastic, calling the Gentiles sinners and the Jews by nature. He is emphasizing here, truthfully, that there is this difference. Jews by nature know better than to believe that justification is by works. But Peter believed he needed to leave the Gentiles behind as bad sinners when they showed up in Antioch, and so Paul's rebuking them. Peter's behavior, you see, implied that the Gentiles were too sinful to eat with. That's why he sarcastically calls them Gentile sinners. The truth is we're all sinners, but here Paul is emphasizing the mistake that Peter made. As a matter of fact, Paul is saying to Peter, as believers in Christ, we are more truly than you think. Rather, we are more truly Jewish than you think. The reason? Because the gospel teaches respect for the law's demands, taking those demands seriously. The Judaizers would have said, Paul doesn't take those demands seriously, but he does. And God takes those demands seriously. God does not ease the law's demands for anyone. And the true Jew, the Jew by nature, respects that. But the true Jew, the Jew by nature, knows he or she cannot keep the law perfectly. The true Jew puts his or her hope in the Messiah, and what Messiah has done, not in himself or herself, and what he or she can do. Jesus taught this, as a matter of fact, quite clearly. Turn to Matthew 5, 17 through 20. Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. In the midst of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says this about his own mission. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass away from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then annuls or cancels out one of the least of these commandments and so teaches others shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now that's tough talk. But Jesus is saying, I'm not going to lessen the requirement that the law be obeyed. The true Jew put his or her hope in the Messiah and what he has done, not in himself or herself and what he or she could do. Jesus taught that. And the law in Jesus' eyes has a standard so high that not even scribes and Pharisees could possibly meet it. They could never meet the perfection demanded by the law. And Paul agrees with this and says so in verse 16. By works of the law shall no flesh be justified. The reason he says this? Because no one can do it. The Judaizers, in saying you have to keep the law to be accepted by God, were demanding the impossible. As a matter of fact, in his statement, Paul is rejecting works of any kind. In Romans 3:27 and 4:2, Paul writes this, where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No, but by a law of faith. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. To be justified by works, you see, you have to be in perfect conformity to every jot and tittle. You have to be in conformity to the greatest and least statutes of the law of God, and that is just not possible. And every true Jew, every Jew by nature, knows this, and that is Paul's point to Peter, to the Galatians, and to us. If you fail to keep the smallest part, even the least important part of the law of God, you sin, and you'll be condemned to hell for all of eternity. Which means your best efforts will always fall short of what God requires of you. You will remain lost in sin and headed for hell for lack of perfect righteousness, for lack of perfectly keeping the law of God. Which is why a man or woman can only be justified by faith in Christ. It's the only option. Jesus Christ is the only man in history who ever kept the law of God perfectly in his life. When he was born and raised, he was circumcised on the eighth day according to the law of Moses, perfect obedience. When he was raised according to Torah. He taught the law of Moses. He studied its every precept from his youth, every jot and tittle. And he obeyed every precept, every jot, every tittle, every small and seemingly minor shape of a Hebrew letter. He kept it perfectly. He observed the ceremonial law to perfection. He offered sacrifices. He tithed. He learned and memorized and kept all Ten Commandments. And this is called, and we call this, his active obedience. And the Father confirmed that he kept the law when he told the world at his baptism and then his transfiguration, Matthew 3:17 and Mark 9:7, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." The Father could not have said that if Jesus had not perfectly kept his law. So in his active obedience, he kept the law perfectly. But he also kept the law perfectly in his passive obedience, which is a reference to his death. Jesus took upon himself the sins of men. He was convicted by the Jewish court of being a sinner, and he did not object. He did not deny he was a sinner. He never said he was a sinner, but he did not deny the charge. Why? Well, though he had no personal sin, he did bear the sins of his people. And this is written in a prophecy in Isaiah 53:4-5. "Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him." Do you hear that? He was punished for our sins. Isaiah was prophesying that. He goes on to say, "And by his scourging, we are healed." And Isaiah finishes by saying, "All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way." That's our sin. "But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him." And then 1 Peter 2:24 explains that. "And he," that is Jesus himself, "bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed," healed of all the damage done by sin. Because he came to die, not for the sins he himself committed, for he was sinless, but for the sins and guilt of sinful men, he paid for the sins of sinful men. He took their guilt upon himself. That's why Paul teaches here that it is by faith in Jesus that we are justified. Faith in what Jesus did in his active and passive obedience. We are saved by placing our trust in his perfect obedience in our place. And we are saved by placing our trust in his being punished for our sins on the cross in our place. Let me put this another way. A sinner is saved from sin. He's forgiven for sin, all of his sin, by believing that Jesus obeyed the law perfectly and then was punished for sin in his or her place. So Paul says in our text, "By works of law shall no flesh, no mortal man, woman, or child be justified, but by faith, by trust in Jesus' obedience and death." So, since you were a sinner, you need to ask yourself, who or what am I trusting in to save me from my sin and the eternal punishment I deserve from God for my sin? Well, you have only two choices. Choice number one, you can trust in yourself, in your good intentions. You're being less bad than others. You're not having done anything terrible. And more positively, since we like to be positive, you can trust in the good that you do perform. But the trouble is that then you fall under the condemnation of Christ in Matthew 5:19. If you fail in just one small point of obeying the law, you go to hell for all eternity. The only way that's left, the only way you can be saved, is to give up all hope that you can be saved by what you or any other sinner can do, and we are all sinners, even the best of us. And that leaves just one hope for you if you want to be saved and forgiven, to be declared not guilty by God, if you want to be justified. You need to give up any hope You must give up any hope that you can do any work to keep God's law. You need to give up any trust in your best intentions to do what is right. Instead, you must trust in Jesus as the true Son of God who became man out of compassion for you in your sinful and eternally lost condition. You must trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who lived a life of perfect obedience to God and his law on your behalf. You must trust in his obedience and his alone and none of your own. And then trust that he was punished for your sin and rest in the atonement that he brings by being found guilty of your sin and being punished for it in your place. Take what Paul says in verse 16 seriously. A man or a woman is not justified by works of law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. It is the only way. This was Paul's point in chapter 1, 13 through 16. Remember, I was a persecutor. I did everything I could to destroy the church. But then God revealed his Son in me by his grace. This was Paul's point in his rebuke of Peter in our text. And this is a point that we dare not lose track of, beloved. In our do-it-yourself world, we are encouraged to look at our own strength, rest on our own laurels, and try to make points with God by what we do and what we believe. The greatest folly of all is to trust in any work of your own. It's a fatal folly. It will land you in hell for all eternity. If you think God will look at you on the last day of judgment and tell you he appreciates that you worked hard to be a good person, then you are only fooling yourself. I tell you, you're on the high road to eternal destruction in hell that way. For God demands perfect obedience to his law. If you want to be saved, then repent of your sin. Stop trusting in what you do. And trust in what Jesus Christ has done in his perfect obedience and perfect death for you and your sin. That is your only hope. But on the other hand, if you already believe in Jesus, then praise God for his mercy to you, because then you are justified, fully forgiven for your sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the one who has secured our freedom from guilt, freedom from eternal death and hell by your obedience on earth and your death on the cross. We thank you for taking upon yourself the sins of men, and pray that everyone listening will trust in you and you alone for their salvation. Help us to sleep tonight, resting in the knowledge that we are forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen.